Chris McCarty, how big's your corpus callosum, do you think? Do you think you've got a decent-sized corpus callosum?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think it's the nerve cells that connects the hemispheres of your brain? Apparently left-handed people, of which I am one.
Are you left-handed?
Yeah, I'm left-handed, yeah.
Did not know that.
More intelligent, it's been proven by science.
I do not deny that that probably is the fact. I am right-handed and therefore I'm not the most intelligent.
Ah, well, there you are. Robbie Greenfield, left or right-handed?
Right.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just you thought, I bet you thought Robbie was going to be left, didn't you?
He does look like a left-handy, doesn't he?
He looks, do you think he looks like a lefty?
Definitely.
I don't know. What does a lefty look like?
You.
Good to know. So this is going downhill. Sport.
Speaking of left-handed, it's a story that I'm sure a lot of people will know, but Rafael Nadal plays left-handed in the world of tennis, of course. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest tennis players of all time. He's actually right-handed.
Right-handed, yeah. Dominant left-handed.
Really? As is Phil Mickelson.
It was Tony Nadal, his uncle, that changed up Rafa at a young age. So he eats his food with his right, he plays darts, he plays pool with his right, he does everything right with his right.
He doesn't play darts and pool.
He does.
He's just made that up.
No, he does.
I cannot imagine Rafa Nadal in a dingy watering hole playing darts and pool. That's what we do.
8 seconds and we had a disagreement.
There was a documentary.
I'm not sure. I think he
Sky One over in the UK showed it all. But yeah, made him play left-handed.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that. See, my son plays golf left-handed, but he's now worked out that he's right-handed. I think it was an excuse
for life after tennis
good.
For Rafa will be he'll be the El Toro, won't he?
That's exactly what he'll be.
He'll have El Toro on the back of a silk shirt and he'll come out.
Could be meeting the world of darts.
Could be a career move. What would his chosen theme be? It wouldn't be, obviously, the power. What would he come out to?
Mask of Zorro. What's the Mask of Zorro song?
I was going to say La Bamba for some reason, but it's probably inappropriate in some way. But maybe not.
Given
not
that
very
that's not
threatening,
Spanish.
Is it?
Well, you know, they speak Spanish in Mexico, so it's close. You know.
Oh, no.
It's about a goat, La Bamba. Did you know that? It was written about a goat. Richie Valens' favourite goat. Yeah, honestly, it's true.
Favourite? What he had? Yeah. He had a number of goats that he enjoyed the company of.
Yeah, perhaps. So look at Sally. Sally's doing that. Move on. Move
She's
on.
Despairing.
Motion with the hand.
Despairing.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, about Royal Ascot, actually. Day one.
It is day one. Robbie's your man for all things horse racing. He's been spending an awful lot of his afternoon
analysing the runners and riders. It's a big day for Godolphin at Royal Ascot. They've got Ribchester, who is, I think, the favourite in the Queen Anne Stakes. That goes off at 5:30 local time. And a little bit later on, 7:20, Barney Roy and Thundersnow. Thundersnow, who of course notched up that victory at the Dubai World Cup. Barney Roy has run three times and come second to Churchill, which is also in that race, an undefeated horse, unbeaten in six races. So that should be a cracker. That is the St. James Palace Stakes, and that is at 7:20 this evening. So it's a big day for Godolphin. It is the biggest flat racing week in Europe, well, we were laughing. There's a tweet, Chris. Maybe you can shed some light on this one.
Yeah.
As to usually when you get to fill out an entry form, it asks you whether you're Mr., Miss., or Messes or whatever. But yeah. Royal Ascot,
it's a
no.
long list. Lieutenants, it's corporals, dames, ladies,
Duchess,
prince,
princess,
sir, king, queen. Yeah, I
all
know
of the ones that you can have a think of. But yes, 30 races over the next 5 days. Prize money totaling £6.5 million. We will be live to Royal Ascot just after 8:30 this evening to speak to Laura King from the Dubai Racing Channel. She'll give us an update on what we've witnessed over the course of day one.
Okay, and one thing I was supposed to mention for a lot of people. Royal Ascot is Frankie Dettori. He's not there.
He's not.
Did he break an arm? What happened?
He's injured.
That's injured, what I do know.
So that's a real blow. Of course, Frankie Dettori, a former jockey of Godolphin, one of the most esteemed jockeys in the world, no doubt about that. So a real blow that he isn't competing today or across the week, but there is still plenty to marvel over. And fingers crossed we see some victories for the Blue Silks of Godolphin. They've got a number, as Robbie says, a number of horses that are much fancied. So let us hope that they are celebrating one or two victories come the end of the week.
Okay, and but I guess this morning, success for the Lions, 28-point win against the Chiefs.
Very good victory, yeah. I watched it, Robbie watched it as well. A 34-point-6 win over a much-changed Chiefs side. They were missing over a third of their first 15. But a win, an impressive win nonetheless. I guess the big takeaways from it, Jack Noel, a couple of tries for him. He has maybe played his way into Warren Gatland's thoughts ahead of that opening test against the All Blacks on Saturday. A quick word, I thought Courtney Laws at 5 was absolutely a man mountain, superb, probably the man of the match over the piece. Jamie Haskell as well, one of the flankers wearing the number 7 shirt. He was excellent, just a wrecking ball, as he proved to be for England across that Six Nations as well. And a quick word on the diminutive Elliot Daly on the opposite wing. I thought he was superb, fleet-footed, sleight of man, but he produced a magnificent performance as well. And he will be in, well, he'll come into Warren Gatland's thinking as well ahead of that first test. And it does get all underway. Eden Park, Auckland, on Saturday, 11:35 kickoff.
Robbie Greenfield, let me ask you about golf. I wanted to talk to you about Tiger Woods.
He has come, well, he's said something which is news in itself.
Well, this is the thing.
He's released a statement on Twitter, I believe it was, essentially admitting that he is seeking professional help to manage his problems with pain medication and sleep deprivation as well. I assume it, or sleep disorder, he calls it. He's a notorious light sleeper. I think when he was in his heyday, he used to say that he got up at 4 a.m. and had a workout, and he was kind of out of the gym before 6 o'clock, while most of us are still in the land of Nod. That's why I suppose he got to where he got to, really, and
dominated the world
of golf for so long. But he's said that he's seeking professional help, and that he wanted to thank all his fans and thank all the players on tour who've come out and supported him. I'd have forgiven him for having a few choice words for some of the people that have been aiming slightly more unsavoury criticism his way, but there you go. He did obviously do something quite serious and quite which he will pay for. I think the arraignment is on the 5th of July, so I think his court hearing, and we're going to find out exactly what the punishment from that DUI, driving under the influence, is going to be. But it's a worrying state of affairs when you have to get professional help to help you with pain medication, which presumably came from a professional in the first place.
I guess
this is
maybe
professionally prescribed.
Maybe
right?
He's accepting he's not taking them in the manner he'd been advised to.
But if you go through,
his defence for the court case, I suppose.
Yeah, but if you go through as much pain as he seems to have gone through, it, you know, managing pain is one thing, but then the reliance on pain medication starts to take over, doesn't it? I kind of think, fair play to you for saying, look, I am looking for help here and I'm trying to sort myself out. I mean, it's been a process for him, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed. And, well, it's not the first time he's sought professional help either, because I think in 2009, after the whole scandal broke, he booked himself into some clinic, didn't he, for three or four months and disappeared. And it's just a reminder of a sad tale, really. But I'm probably not the last we're going to hear about this, but hopefully it's the start of the road to recovery for him. And if that doesn't end up on a golf course, then, well, Chris McCarty will continue to bemoan the lack of stories and narrative in world golf, and we will continue to talk.
There's a wry smile on his face.
I'm just laughing because I'm going to throw Robbie under the bus now. About 10 minutes after we went back upstairs yesterday, he did turn to me and say, you know what, you're probably right.
Oh.
Didn't you, Robbie?
Did you really?
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, but only because I felt I needed to soften the mood. I thought there was
absolute nonsense. I was smiling upstairs. He just turned to me and went, you know what, you're probably right, but I just felt, and then just tailed off.
The whole argument was about personalities in golf. Chris would contend that there aren't enough personalities, that golfers are essentially
the
slightly
dull.
The
thing is, this is a guy, what doesn't wash with me is this is a guy that gets ludicrously excited about things like badminton, squash, darts.
I don't get excited
about
badminton.
You do.
Squash and darts, yes.
You do, and you're like, oh, this is fascinating, oh, like this. And then with golf, it's almost like he actually takes... It's not objective. It's a subjective disliking of it.
Do you not
and
think?
I think it's unfair.
Do you not think, Robbie, there's an element of he knows just how much this winds you up, and he just needles away at you every time when you fall for it? It's just
hook,
like,
line,
come on.
And sinker in your feet.
There might be a bit of that.
There could be a little bit of that.
If I can, Chris, get your thoughts on one of the big sports stories doing the rounds today as well. Jose Mourinho is another name that's been dragged into the tax issue in Spain.
Yes, the latest big name to be accused of tax fraud. It's a story that has just broken in the last couple of hours. Spanish prosecutors are investigating Jose Mourinho's time as Real Madrid's head coach. The amount that it amounts to is €3.3 million in taxes between 2011 and 2012. And and the prosecutor at the centre of all this said that Mourinho, or has accused Mourinho, of not declaring income from the use of his image rights in order to get, and I quote, an illicit benefit. So that is now Cristiano Ronaldo, Jose Mourinho. I think we tweeted out about 20 minutes or so ago that Jorge Mendes, could someone be after Jorge Mendes? Because the common denominator between Ronaldo and Mourinho is that Jorge Mendes, the super agent, represents both men. So there is something afoot here. The Spanish authorities have clearly feel they've had the wool pulled over their eyes and they're trying to claw back at some money they feel that they rightly belongs to the treasury over there in Spain.
But if you look at the other players that have been caught up in similar kind of allegations, Lionel Messi, Javier Mascherano, Neymar, Sandro Rosell.
So essentially they've moved from Barcelona to Real Madrid.
It strikes me that Spain might be the problem and not these players. Because why isn't this happening anywhere else?
Yeah.
It is a good point. Well, they transferred their affairs, did they not, in the case of Mourinho and also Ronaldo, from whatever the UK tax structure they were working under to the Spanish tax structure. Now, they have no issues from the UK tax.
It is this grey area. I said it a couple of days ago, didn't I, that the image rights are an issue that it's almost as if the Spanish authorities have not really embraced it. They're starting to embrace it now. They've started looking at the legalities of it all, and they're now trying to, well, take one or two individuals who are earning huge amounts of money, not just a year, but weekly as well. They're trying to take them to task for money they clearly feel that they are owed, and it will be very interesting. One thing I think we can say is Jose Mourinho and Ronaldo, if found guilty, they will not spend a day behind bars. They will just be slapped on the wrist.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, doesn't it? One story just to finish off, actually. MMA story that you're following today. An Emirati fighter.
Indeed, yes. Mohamed Yahya.
Okay.
Is that right?
I think so.
Is that right? Okay, fine. He is the first Emirati mixed martial artist to be signed up to the brand Bellator, which is basically one of the biggest MMA labels in the world. It's not quite the level of UFC, but it's a big deal.
Hugely respected.
It's hugely respected, and Mohamed, he owns a 6-1 record. That includes this is in terms of professional fights, six wins, 3 by TKO, 2 by submission, and 1 win by decision. And he is about to fight under that label, and he's signed to a 4-fight deal. So a little bit like Gokhan Saki, who we had in the studio last week, who's going to be fighting for the UFC, who's a Dutch-Turkish fighter based out in Dubai, trained by the same group of people, Tam Khan, who was also in, who runs TK MMA Fitness, which is the sort of, he's been the kind of pioneer for mixed martial arts in the UAE. He looks after the training of both of these guys, and he says lots and lots of positive things about Mohamed and his potential and his career going forward. So fingers crossed, we're actually going to have Mohamed in studio with us tomorrow evening around about 8:30 in the evening, and we're going to hear it from him as to what, where his career is going. And this is huge news for the Emirati community in terms of mixed martial arts. It's a big deal. He's a trailblazer, and who knows how far he could go.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? It's kicking the door open.
It
by
is.
The way, talking to kicks, how's the leg after
the leg is now fine? The bruise has subsided.
Oh, good.
And I've now got my masculinity back.
The bruise has subsided, and over 2 million people have seen that on Gokhan Saki's Instagram.
Just going to say, how many hits has that had? Anyway, do you want to do the last word?
Yeah, why not?
Might as well. There's nothing else to do, isn't there? Let's just talk some more. Wait.
The last word.
Cops use padlocks to stop thieves stealing their...
Rick's back.
There's nobody that can deliver a sentence like Rick Bullamere.
It's a highlight of his
day. We'll do it once more, and then we'll get your thoughts.
The last word.
Cops use padlocks to stop thieves stealing their...
What do cops use padlocks to stop thieves?
Their mopeds.
Okay, mopeds, says Chris. I don't even know what to ask you, but I'm going to.
Sounded like an M.
Padlocks.
Cops use padlocks to stop thieves stealing their...
Mothers.
Sandwiches?
Tim, what do you think it is? You don't know what it is, do you?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to have a think about it for a couple of seconds, and then I'll give you an answer in a minute. So you're going for sandwiches, Robbie? You happy with that?
No, I'm not happy with it, but I'm going with it.
It's what you're going with. Chris going for mopeds. If you have a word that fits in there better, that's exactly what I was in my head, actually, Adil. Adil's going for donuts.
Donuts, yeah.
Which is one thing, isn't it?
I like that.
Text us in 4001 via the free app for the Lost Word. Sport, Robbie, Chris, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.